Debating whether to get up or not, I rolled over. There was a Post-it on the nightstand. I reached out and picked it up.
"I'm sorry I had to leave, but when you wake up, you better head straight home. Rory wants to know what happened. Asher."
I was going to head home, but I had something to take care of first. When I sat up, Hades moved from the end of the bed to my side. I smiled. They even remembered Hades. I searched Asher's room until I found my shoes by the door. I slipped them on. Hades' leash and my keys were on his desk. They really thought of everything. I put Hades on his leash and left Asher's, making sure to lock the door behind me. By the time I reached the cemetery, I was fuming. I skidded the blazer to a stop in the gravel, holding on to my temper by my nails. I climbed out of the truck and strode towards them. "Those of you who came to the high school today?" I took a breath and let my temper fly. "What the fuck did you think you were doing?" I shouted. Several spirits flinched, but others glared back, including Mr. Davis.
"You didn't show up,"
Davis shouted.
"I slept in, you fucker," I snapped. "I was going to come by after school."
"As if we're supposed to know that,"
Davis shot back. "For the last few months, I've shown up 6 days a week," I growled. "I show up when I'm sick. I show up when I'm tired. If I don't show in the morning, you can damn well bet that I'll be there in the evening."
"You need to take more of us at once. We need to cross," Davis snapped.
"That's it. I've had it."
"Enough," I shouted. "Here's the way things are going to go now. First, stop running around town in groups. You're killing the Transformers and being seen. Second, you will not go looking for me. The rest of my life is off limits. If you can't follow those rules, go find another way into the veil.
Your job is to..."
"This isn't a job. This is my fucking life," I shouted back. "And because of the shit you just pulled, no one's crossing for the next couple of days. You guys can just deal with it." I turned to walk away.
"You can't do that,"
Mr. Davis shouted. I turned back. "Oh, yes, I can. You see, I'm not dead. I have options." My eyes ran over the group. I wanted them to understand exactly whose fault this was. "And no one is crossing for one reason." I met his hate-filled gaze. "You and your actions." I turned away and ignored the souls yelling at Mr. Davis. I climbed into the blazer and drove out of the cemetery. That had felt good. Really good. Hell, a reality check had been overdue. I looked down at my portfolio and resume that I had put together for the tattoo shop. I had been carrying it around, hoping to have time to go and apply. That's when it sunk in. I didn't have the time to have a weekend job, especially if I didn't even have the time to go apply. I shook my head as I started for home. My heart was heavy as I pulled onto my street and noticed the guys' cars were there. What the... I pulled in front of the house to see them in the driveway, leaning on Rory's truck. But that's not what caught my eye. I shut off the truck and slowly climbed out. The front of the house had changed. Instead of sage, the house was white. Instead of the normal white door, there was a brand new blue one in its place, with four small windows and a line across the top. But the biggest change? The bushes where Clay Orden had hidden had been torn out. Instead, the bed was just dark dirt with the start of some plants here and there. My eyes burned as I realized what had happened. I looked over at them, my eyes watering. "How did you know?" I asked quietly. Rory moved to my side and hugged me tight.
"Isaac texted Miles last night. Why didn't you tell me you were having trouble coming into the house?"
"I thought I'd get through it," I rasped. I quickly took a drink of water. "It was only at night."
"You didn't have to deal with it alone,"
he reminded me. I nodded. When he pulled away, I wiped my face.
I looked at the house, and for the first time in months, I didn't have a flash of being grabbed off the porch. Tears fell down my face as I looked at the work the guys had put in. "Thank you," I said softly. My throat had a knot, making it hard to talk.
"Oh, that's not all,"
Asher announced. He hurried to just inside the door and flipped a switch. The front yard lit up with floodlights. It took a second for my eyes to adjust, but when they did, I was smiling again. The yard was bright as day. There were no shadows for someone to hide in. There was nothing to hide behind. Tears fell faster. "Thank you." I looked at the guys and moved. I hugged Miles because he was the closest.
"You needed to tell us,"
he whispered to me. I nodded.
"The neighbors are going to be so pissed about those lights,"
Zeke said dryly. I laughed as I moved to Zeke. I really wanted to hug Zeke, and he knew it. He reached out. I took his big, dirty, calloused hand and squeezed it tight. Asher joined us and wrapped me in a hug. I squeezed him back. When I pulled back, he kept his arm around my shoulders. "You guys, thank you so much," I said again, still stunned by everything they'd done.
"Well, just don't look at the back half,"
Miles said.
"We only had time to paint the front today."
Everyone chuckled.
"Come on inside and get cleaned up, boys. The pizza should be here soon,"
Rory announced. Zeke checked his phone.
"I can't. I have to go to work."
Everyone complained. He ignored it as he tucked his phone away.
"I'll see you guys tomorrow."
Zeke headed for his Jeep without another word. He started the Jeep, then glanced over and met my gaze. With shadowed eyes, he turned away and pulled out onto the street. I watched as he drove off, leaving my stomach in knots and my heart full of dread. The night grew quiet as Asher and Rory headed inside. Miles moved to my side. "He doesn't have to work tonight, does he?" I asked quietly. Miles sighed.
"No. But I think he needs to."
I looked down at the grass. Is he going to start avoiding me too? Miles's hand went to the small of my back.
"No, he's avoiding his own issues right now."
His thumb began to rub circles on my spine.
"Your issues have just brought up some of his own."
I slowly started walking towards the door. "Is there anything I can do to help?"
"Not until he's ready to talk to you about it,"
Miles told me quietly. I nodded. I got it. It hurt, but I understood. We joined Rory and Asher as a vote for a movie started. I didn't care. Two of my guys were here, and I could come home at night without issues. The night went on without Zeke, Isaac, and Ethan. But without everyone there, it wasn't the same. I was lying in bed, exhausted, but my brain kept going around in circles. Asher, Rory, and Miles had asked about what happened today. I kept it vague. I didn't have an answer for them. In theory, I knew what happened. I'd shoved the ghosts away. But it had never happened that way before. Serena might be right. My abilities were growing. What were they growing into? I don't think I wanted to know. After the guys left, I sent Isaac a text. "Alexis, thank you. I miss you." I hoped for an answer, but my phone stayed silent. Now I was trying to sleep, but to no avail. Questions kept running through my head. I checked my phone. 11:47 p.m. Shit. Okay, let's try counting sheep. I started counting. When I reached 100, I knew it wasn't working. My phone rang. I answered it as fast as I could. "Hello?"
"Hi."
Miles's voice filled my ear. "Hey, what's going on?" I asked, laying back down. Miles sighed.
"I can't sleep. The house is too quiet. With everything that happened today and tomorrow..."
"I know what you mean," I admitted. "I can't sleep either."
"I wonder if anyone is sleeping tonight,"
he said absently.
Probably not. Do you want some company? I asked, hoping he'd say yes.
Hell, I wanted company right now, and Hades was just hogging the bed.
No, it's all right, he said instantly. I've got that competition tomorrow. I'll try some TV or something. Try not to worry. Everything will work out. Get some sleep, Lexi.
Night, I said before he hung up. I put my phone down and looked up at the ceiling. I was only in bed for a few more seconds before I gave up. Then I was up and pulling on my sneakers. Miles calling in the middle of the night was strange enough, but after everything that's happened lately, with the state championship tomorrow, I couldn't not go over. I opened my door and headed downstairs, Hades following close. I put a leash on him, left a note for Rory, and was out the door in minutes. It wasn't long before I pulled into Miles's circular driveway. I hurried, ignoring the slight chill in the air. I unlocked the door with my key and quickly punched in the combo to the security system. After shutting the door, locking it, and arming the system again, I let Hades off his leash. He followed me up the stairs and down the hall. Miles's bedroom door was closed. I knocked twice before I opened the door and peeked around it. "It's just me," I said. Miles was sitting up in bed, wearing a white undershirt and a pair of green flannel pajama bottoms. When he saw it was me, he put his book down.
"Lexi, what are you doing here?" he asked. "It's late."
I opened the door and came in, not waiting for an invitation. I towed off my shoe and climbed into the empty side of his bed. Hades joined us at our feet. As I made myself comfy by pulling his blankets up over my shoulders, Miles looked down at me like I was crazy.
"You couldn't sleep, I couldn't sleep," I said. "So I came over."
He smiled that smile that showed how handsome he was. Butterflies took off, and for the first time, I didn't mind. I hadn't felt them that strong in a long time.
"Rory's going to be angry," he warned.
I shrugged. "I left a note." He smiled down at me. "What are you reading?" He held up the paperback.
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
"Jules Verne? Nice." I smiled up at him.
"You've read it?"
"Years ago," I said. I met his eyes.
"Read to me?" I asked quietly. Miles smiled and picked up the book. He went all the way back to the beginning.
I scooted closer so I might see the print. Miles adjusted his pillows so I could. His silky smooth timber relaxed me like nothing else could. I laid in his bed as he read several chapters out loud. During that time, I was at peace. My mind was quiet and the world was far away. When he stopped to get a drink from the bottle of water on his night table, I had to ask, "Miles, why are your walls black in here?" He set the bottle down.
"It's for the fiber optics," he said as he opened the book again.
"What fiber optics?" He grinned as he set down the book and picked up a remote. He shut off the lamp, plunging the room into darkness. My heart raced. "Miles?" I asked, wondering again if he liked me. Little lights in the ceiling turned on. The glow filled the room with soft light. I looked up and smiled. It looked like the night sky was on his ceiling.
"Wow."
Miles laid back down next to me, his shoulder touching mine.
"I had them installed a couple years ago. It works better with black walls."
"It's beautiful," I told him. "How can't you fall asleep with that on the ceiling?"
Miles grew quiet. Eventually, he answered,
"My mother always had music going. In her room, the kitchen, the conservatory, it didn't matter. Wherever she was, there was music. The only time the house ever got this quiet was after my father beat her."
I turned to him. His gaze was on the ceiling.
"He'd shut off her music and that'd be it. Silence for the rest of the night."
I reached over and took his hand. He gave mine a small squeeze.
"I'm sorry," I said softly, He turned to me.
You didn't know.
Wanting to make it better, I raised an eyebrow. So does snoring count? 'Cause I can do that. He chuckled.
As I've learned from the others, yes.
He smiled at me.
Snoring counts.
I smiled to myself. Good. We were quiet as we looked up at the stars. Are you nervous about the tournament tomorrow?
A little. I've been state champion for the last 2 years. The coach expects me to keep pulling it off.
He admitted. Do your best. That's all anyone can ask, I told him. He squeezed my hand.
I know. If I lose, I lose. If I win, I win. There's no good coming from worrying about it right now.
The room fell into silence. I peeked up at him. Can you still read to me? I asked in an innocent voice. He chuckled softly, then picked up the book and started reading to me again. I watched the stars above as his voice slipped through my ears. I vaguely remember moving closer and snuggling into him as he read. There were lips on my forehead, just as I slipped under. Chapter 15. Friday morning. I woke up slowly. I was warm, safe, and comfy. Wintergreen filled my nose as I rubbed my face against his skin. I never got to cuddle with Miles. I was going to enjoy this as long as I could. That's when I realized where I was. I was lying on Miles. At some point in the night, I had rolled over onto Miles. My stretched-out legs were between his. One arm was resting over his shoulder, my fingers in his hair. My other arm was over his other shoulder and buried in the pillow. The poor guy was stuck. His arms were around me, though, and he didn't seem to mind. His lips rested against my forehead, and his breath moved through my hair. His fingers trailed down my spine, then back again.
Carium, Berkelium, Einsteinium,
he breathed. I grinned. He was awake and listing the table of elements. What time is it? I grumbled. He smiled against my skin.
Around 8,
he told me softly. I groaned. I had to get up. I don't want to get up, I mumbled. You're comfy. He chuckled quietly.
Then go back to sleep.
I pulled back a little and looked up to meet his warm emerald eyes. Don't tempt me, I warned him. That's the best night of sleep I've had in a while. His eyes grew concerned.
Bad dreams?
Yeah, all cabin ones, I admitted quietly. Not to mention all the ghost crap I was trying to deal with. He reached up and brushed some of my hair gently out of my face.
I'm sorry we didn't get there sooner,
he said softly. I blinked up at him. It's not your fault, Miles, I told him. It's his. He nodded sadly. Did you sleep? I asked. His ears tinged pink as he answered,
I fell asleep shortly after you did.
Good. I moved to get up. Miles dropped one of his legs so I could move out from between his. I moved to my back beside him. So, how did I totally pin you last night? I asked, making a joke of it. He chuckled.
I don't move much, and I'm usually a back sleeper.
I stretched. Sorry, I'm a cuddler. My voice turned raspy. I looked for my water bottle and didn't see it.
You didn't bring a water bottle. Feel free to use mine,
Miles said as he stretched. I grabbed his water bottle and took a drink, then laid back down. What time does the tournament start? He had a small half-grin on his face as he reached over me and picked up his glasses from the nightstand.
It's already going, but my division doesn't start until 10. You don't have to come to the first part, he offered, laying back down and putting on his glasses. The last race is scheduled for 1 this afternoon.
I rolled onto my side, braced my jaw on my hand, and smiled at him. Well, That will give me time to get dressed and get some drawing done. He scratched his jaw.
That's a good idea. You haven't really drawn lately.
Then his eyes met mine.
Lexi, what happened yesterday?
My stomach knotted as I remembered. I got the ghosts to leave, I said, repeating my answer from last night. His eyes narrowed at me.
Then why were you sick?
I sat up and put my back against the headboard, buying time. It was just a 2 miles, I lied, but I didn't want to tell them. I needed to keep this ghost shit from touching them. His gaze ran over my face. I changed the subject. I'll be there in time for the lunch break, and I'll even bring you lunch, I offered. He smiled.
I would appreciate that. It needs to be light. Could you pick me up a salad, please, with
half romaine and half spinach, grilled chicken, tomatoes, cucumbers, and Italian dressing. I recited his usual swim day lunch. He raised an eyebrow.
You remember what I eat on race days?
He asked quietly. My face grew warm. I shrugged nonchalantly. You have the same thing every time. I hedged before I moved to the edge of the bed and started looking for my shoes. I found them, then focused on putting them on until my face stopped glowing. I hurried to my feet and grabbed Hades' leash. I'll see you at the meet, I said cheerfully as Hades followed me out the door. In the hall, I took a deep breath and let it out slowly. Damn it, Lexi, stop flirting. And why the hell were you practically laying on him this morning? You know better than that. I berated myself the whole way home.
Miles. I listened to Lexi walk down the hallway, my mind troubled. She was lying about yesterday. I sat up and rested my back against the headboard as I ran through yesterday in my head again. We'd all seen her have a 2, and that wasn't a 2. Something else happened to make her sick, and something fried the backup generator at school. I tapped against my knee. It had to have something to do with the dead. It's one of the only things we didn't hear about anymore. In fact, she's been eerily quiet on the subject for the last couple of months, except for suggesting that the ghosts might be responsible for the transformers around town. How many ghosts would it take to knock out a transformer, or cause the power surges that had been showing up around town? I could only assume a large number. Something was definitely going on with Lexi, and she seemed determined to keep it to herself. I picked up my phone and called Zeke. He picked up on the 4th ring. What? His gravelly voice was still half asleep. You were right, I admitted. She's not telling us something. Told ya, he grumbled. It has to be that necromancy shit. I believe so. She's been oddly quiet about it for a while, I told him, looking at my closed bedroom door. When she got that ghost out of here the other day, she looked tired, bone tired, he informed me. She needs to start talking. I agree, but right now is probably not the best time, not with Isaac and Ethan trying to deal with the fact Sophie is here. Zeke cursed. We're going to have to watch her more. How she's acting, how much sleep she's getting. I began making a list. She's been coming to school with nosebleeds for a few days now, he informed me. It shouldn't surprise me that Zeke noticed and I didn't. That's not a good sign, I said. But until Sophie's crossed, I don't want to push her. I'll fucking do it, he snapped. Zeke, I chided. We want answers, not pulling her away. He sighed. Yeah, I know. I have to get going. I'll see you at the meet. Good luck.
Lexi. I stopped the blazer far enough from the crowd of ghosts that Hades wouldn't start barking. After my morning to myself, I wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for a damn promise I made. Mr. Osborne! I called into the large group. Mr. Osborne made his way to the edge of the group, his face hopeful.
Did you find them?
He asked. Thanks to my uncle, yeah, I said. Your wife gave birth to a healthy boy. She lives in a nice part of town and is doing fine. He all but deflated as he dropped to his knees. Thank you, he said softly. No problem, I said. I turned away and headed back to my truck.
That's it? Mr. Davis snapped.
I turned and crossed my arms over my chest. The ghost was furious.
You're not crossing anyone?
I smiled sweetly at him. No, I'm not, I stated. I'm taking the day off, and it's all your fault. The ghosts started shouting at Davis again as I grinned, climbed into the blazer, and got out of there. Davis had to answer to the other souls, not me. 30 minutes later, I was pulling into a spot at the city's indoor pool. It was the only Olympic-sized pool for miles around. The place was packed with people. I grabbed Hades' leash and the bags of food before heading towards the gates. The guys, after hearing that I was getting Miles' lunch, instantly put in their orders. Hades, guard me, I whispered the order to him. He instantly went into alert mode. If someone got within 2 feet of me, he growled until they backed up. When I stepped up to pay my fee, they hesitated. No dogs allowed, the tall woman snapped. I gave her a smile. Service dog. The woman ran her eyes over Hades, then looked to me again. I don't buy that. Where's his vest? I sighed, dug into my wallet, and pulled out the card that Rory made sure to fill out for me at the station. She read it, frowned, then handed it back. Then she took my money. Complete bullshit, she mumbled under her breath as she made change. My temper spiked. A couple weeks ago, I might have let that slide, but I was sick and tired of letting people and ghosts walk over me. I took my change and ticket, then met her eyes. What was that? I asked politely. She smiled. Oh, nothing. Yeah. That wasn't going to fly with me. No. I believe you said complete bullshit, right? Her face turned pink. Perhaps I did, she admitted. But it's people like you who abuse the system. Would you like to know why I have a service dog? I asked directly. The woman blinked. She couldn't ask that, and she knew it. I told her anyway. In January? This psycho stalked me, kidnapped me, then almost killed me, I told her matter-of-factly. Her face grew pale. Now I have issues going into crowds. That was you? The girl, the Ordens boy? Yeah, that was me. So thanks for the ticket, and fuck you very much, I snapped, and walked past her, fighting the urge to turn back and go at her more. A person says service animal. You had to allow it, whether you believed it or not. I made my way through the foyer and into the pool area. It was huge and packed. Trusting Hades to keep people away from me, I searched for the guys. I couldn't spot them. A race was still going, so I stayed to the side of the bleachers, still looking for the guys. You'd think Zeke would be easy to spot, even in this crowd. Lexi? A girl's voice caught my attention. I looked for the owner. Laura was sitting a couple rows up the bleachers. I smiled at her. Hey, I said, moving closer to the bleachers. Where are your friends? She asked, tucking some hair behind her ear. I looked back out at the crowded bleachers. I don't know. I turned back to her. Who are you here for? Her face turned crimson. Michael is on the team. Hades began pulling on the leash. I kept him at my side. Really? And how's that going? I asked mischievously. She smiled and looked away while scratching her arm. Her scratching lifted her long-sleeved shirt, flashing burn scars along her arm. I looked at the race going on. The burn scars were deep and completely healed. I kept my mouth shut as Hades gave another lurch. I pulled him back, telling him no. A giant figure moved out of the crowd. Hades started pulling harder at his leash.
We're on the far side. There's one more race and then the lunch break,
Zeke said as he scratched Hades' ears. I turned to Laura. I'll see you later. She nodded shyly. I followed Zeke around the pool to the far side near the starting blocks for the swimmers. Asher was waiting in the bleachers. He was alone. My heart dropped. Where are the twins? Asher gave me a tense look.
They're here. They aren't sitting with us, though.
I sat down next to Asher, my chest tight. They should be sitting with us, cheering for Miles. This wasn't right. Look, I handed Asher the bags filled with everyone's lunch. I'll go sit with Laura so the twins will come back. When I went to get up, Asher took my arm and stopped me.
It's not just you, Allie. They don't want to talk to anyone right now. Sit down, Lexi. They're dealing with their shit.
Zeke growled as he sat down on my other side. I sat back down as the race ended. Hades settled on the bench in front of me. An announcement of numbers came over the PA. Swimmers climbed out of the pool, while others came out of the locker rooms. I spotted Miles. Holy shit. Sweet Miles, who was always properly dressed, was wearing only a dark green Speedo. I swallowed hard. His tall, lean body showed every ripped muscle. I made a point to make sure my mouth was closed as my eyes ran over him. From his strong shoulders down his muscled pecs, even further to what I swear was an 8-pack. But his Speedo hid the last of the view. His legs were just as ripped as his upper body. I had been laying on that all night? Dear God. I reminded myself to breathe. Miles must have had his contacts in since he was only carrying a pair of goggles in his hand. He was talking to another swimmer, but I honestly couldn't tell you who it was or what he looked like. I needed to stop staring. I looked away to the pool and focused on petting Hades. Rule one of being friends with guys, don't get caught drooling. So which race is this? I asked, hoping to keep my eyes from drifting back to Miles as he lined up behind his starting block.
The second semifinal. Everyone in this race has beaten out everyone else on one side of the bracket,
Asher explained.
The top three here will go on to join the final.
So I got here just in time, I muttered.
Yeah,
Asher answered. The swimmers climbed onto their blocks and got into position. Everyone bent over and placed their hands on the edge of the block. My knees started bouncing as the entire building grew silent. A buzzer went off. The swimmers were instantly in the water. My heart raced as Miles came up and started moving. He wasn't the fastest. How many laps? I asked nervously, scratching Hades' ears.
It's 200 meters, so 4 laps.
Asher pointed towards the guy in the first lane.
That guy is going to wear out fast. This is an endurance race.
I nodded as I watched Miles and the leading group dive under the water, turn, and push off the wall. Miles started picking up a little more speed. The guy in the lead was starting to lag behind. They hit the other end of the pool and shot back down the lanes. I twisted my fingers together. Halfway through the 3rd lap, Miles and 4 others started pulling ahead.
Here it comes, Asher announced.
Asher stood up, and he wasn't the only one. Everyone stood up, blocking my view of the leaders turning at the wall. I stood up and could still barely see. I cursed and stepped up on my seat. Zeke reached out and steadied me with his eyes still on the race. Miles was pulling ahead with 2 others. They were close. I couldn't tell who was ahead. Then halfway through the last lap, Miles and 2 other swimmers pulled ahead. I bit the corner of my bottom lip. Miles and 2 others hit the wall. The crowd went crazy. We cheered as the 3 winners hung on the dividers and got their breath back. "Go, Miles!" I shouted. The guys whooped. Miles looked up and spotted us. It wasn't hard. Zeke was huge, after all. He waved with his goggles in his hand, still trying to catch his breath. We stopped making noise and sat back down. The crowd started to break up and head for the doors while we stayed put. Miles and the others climbed out of the pool, using the block to get out. Soaking wet Miles was yummy. My mouth went dry as he grabbed a towel and dried off. He talked to one of the other swimmers while they walked back into the locker room. I pulled my eyes away from him and looked around at the remaining crowd. I spotted the twins on the other side of the pool. I picked up the twins' usual sandwiches, too. I went to stand up. I'll take them their lunch really quick. Asher's hand grabbed my arm, stopping me.
You don't want to do that, Allie girl,
he warned. He took the bag from my hand and tugged me back down to my seat. He looked past me to Zeke.
Are you coming?
Zeke sighed.
Yeah.
He heaved himself to his feet and followed Asher down the bleachers. That was strange. I watched them go over and hand the bag to Isaac. Smart. He'd always been more food-driven. My shoulders grew tense as I watched the guys try to talk to them. Ethan was doing a lot of gesturing. Isaac opened the bag and pulled out his sandwich. I was still watching them when Miles came out of the locker room.
Hi.
Miles's voice pulled my attention from the others. He was wearing a white shirt, a pair of dark track pants, and sandals. His wet hair wasn't dripping, but it wasn't brushed either. I gave him a smile. Hey, you kicked ass out there. Really, Lexi? You just saw him in almost nothing, and that's all you could come up with? His ears turned pink as he sat on the bench below me. Hades moved to the side a little when Miles scratched his ears.
Thanks. We're almost done. Just one more race.
He sighed. I opened the bag next to me and handed him his salad and plastic utensils.
Thank you for lunch. I really appreciate it.
I shrugged. No problem. It's the least I can do after hogging your covers all night. He grinned as he opened his salad.
You didn't hog the covers,
he told me quietly, pink tinging his cheeks. He was right. I had climbed on top of him. My face burned. I dropped the subject as I pulled my sandwich out of the bag.
So, the twins are here,
he told me. I licked my lips. Yeah, I brought them lunch. Asher and Zeke took it over. I'm hoping they'll at least eat the lunch I brought. He reached out and touched my knee, getting my attention.
They're still processing everything,
he said gently.
It's not going to happen overnight.
I know. I just miss them, I admitted. He squeezed my knee gently. He took his hand off my knee and went back to his lunch.
So, what did you do this morning? Have you gone to get that job yet?
I looked away to the pool. No. I changed my mind. Miles turned on the bench, giving me his full attention.
Why didn't you?
I looked down at Hades. I realized that I don't have the time for a job right now, even a once-a-week one.
What's stopping you? Maybe we can help,
he offered. I gave him a sad smile. It's just not going to work right now. Miles met my eyes and waited. I turned away in time to spot the guys coming back.
They aren't talking much,
Asher announced. Zeke sat next to me. Asher sat on the same bench as Miles. I handed them the bag. Everyone got their sandwiches out.
What did we miss?
Asher asked as he opened his sandwich.
Lexi didn't apply for that job,
Miles announced.
Why?
Asher asked, frowning. My shoulders grew tense under their eyes. Because I don't have enough time, I muttered, as I pulled my sandwich out of the bag.
Then just work weekends,
Zeke suggested. That won't work right now, I mumbled before taking a bite. Zeke and Miles shared a look before changing the subject. As lunch went on, we talked about the next race as if there was no one missing. I looked across the pool at the twins. Neither one of them was talking. Ethan was looking down at the water, his face pensive. Isaac was looking at the cement floor near the pool. People started coming back from lunch. A cop in uniform made his way through the returning crowd. I smiled as Rory walked over to the twins and sat down. "Rory's here," I announced. Everyone turned to see him.
"Maybe he could help,"
Asher muttered. It didn't look like he was. Ethan wasn't talking. He was just staring at the water. "It doesn't look like it," I mumbled.
"They'll come around,"
Miles reassured me.
"So what's everyone doing this afternoon?"
Asher asked. I shrugged. "Nothing planned."
"Busy,"
Zeke muttered.
"I'll probably be napping,"
Miles admitted. I turned to Miles. "We're still doing your party tonight, right?" Miles met my eyes and smiled uncertainly.
"If you guys really want to."
"Sounds good to me." I looked across the pool, wondering if the twins would come. I rubbed Hades' ears and turned back to Miles. "Want us to bring snacks?" I asked. Miles shook his head.
"We can order in."
Asher scoffed.
"No, we won't."
I smiled at the indignation in Asher's voice.
"I'll make snacks this afternoon and bring them over."
Miles shook his head.
"You guys don't have to."
"Oh, yeah, we do," I countered. He turned back to me, and I gave him a big, shit-eating grin. He smiled and shook his head. I looked up in time to spot Rory walking around the pool. Asher nudged me gently.
"Do you want to come help make snacks?"
"Sure. As long as you make cookies, too," I suggested.
"All right, but we'll make Miles's favorite,"
he stipulated. I held my hand out. "Deal." We shook on it.
"So I assume you made it to the final,"
Rory announced as he reached us.
"Yes, we have the last race in 15 minutes,
Miles said awkwardly. Rory sat down on the other side of Hades.
"How's the competition?"
Miles looked down at the floor.
It's stronger than last year,"
he admitted before looking at the pool.
"This next race won't be easy. There is one former state champion still in the race. It's his last year, and he's rather determined to win his title back." "That's Eric Johansson, right?"
Rory asked. Miles nodded. I smiled to myself as I listened to the two of them talk about the competition. It seemed Rory had adopted Miles, too. Soon enough, Miles was heading back into the locker room. The bleachers started filling up. "Rory, do you care if I go over and help Asher with snacks for a video game marathon tonight?" I asked, scooting over a little to give Zeke more room. He was glaring at the guy next to him, and the poor guy might have a heart attack. Zeke took the room, sliding over until his thigh met mine.
"Sure, no problem. Just be home by 11 tonight,"
Rory told me. I nodded as the announcer called for the swimmers to come to the pool, the sound echoing through the building. I was more prepared for Miles in a Speedo, but I still had to make sure I wasn't drooling. There was no talking among the swimmers this time. Everyone had their game faces on and were ignoring the others.
"Swimmers, to your blocks,"
the announcement rang through my ears. All six swimmers moved to their lanes. Miles went to lane 5 and climbed onto his block. My knee started bouncing. It only lasted a few heartbeats until Zeke put his large hand on my knee, stopping me. I glanced up at him. He shot me a look. I rolled my eyes and started bouncing my other knee. Asher didn't mind when I bounced my knee. Too soon for me, the buzzer sounded and Miles was in the water. The race started like the last one, only no one pulled ahead on the first lap. The same for the second. Halfway through the third, the swimmers picked up the pace. Everyone stood up. I stood on my seat so I could see, with my hand on Zeke's shoulder and Asher's hand on my waist, keeping me balanced. I kept my eyes glued to Miles's lane. He moved through the water like a machine, slicing through it easily. They hit the turn. Somehow, in the turn, four of them took the lead, including Miles. "Come on, come on, come on," I muttered, practically bouncing in place. My heart pounded as the swimmers went all out. Miles and another swimmer pulled ahead easily. They were neck and neck. Then, at the last quarter, Miles really put on the speed. They hit the wall almost at the same time. I couldn't tell who won. The crowd went crazy. I shouted along with them. Asher covered his ears as the building was filled with noise. The timekeepers from both lanes met behind the blocks. Two officials came over to the timekeepers. Their conversation was animated. Then they went to Miles and the other swimmer in the lane next to him. Miles and the other guy nodded. Miles held his hand out and shook the other guy's hand. They were both smiling. Was it a tie?
"Ladies and gentlemen, the race was so close that our timekeepers have the same time. Our officials need to go over the footage from the underwater cameras. We'll announce the new state champion in the boys' 200-meter freestyle as soon as we can. Let's give our competitors a hand."
The building was filled with applause as Miles and the others got out of the pool. When we finally stopped cheering, everyone sat back down and waited while the swimmers gathered into their teams. Miles spoke to a couple of the guys while everyone waited. Eventually, the officials came out of the little room with medals. One of them moved to the side of the pool with the starting blocks and turned on the microphone.
"Ladies and gentlemen, after reviewing the footage, it's unanimous. The new state champion for boys' 200-meter freestyle is Miles Huntington."
All of us stood up and cheered. Miles moved out from our school's team and met the officials. They put the medal around Miles's neck. His face and ears were flaming red when he bowed to the crowd. I could tell from here that he just wanted to melt into the background. The crowd started to break up as the swimmers went into the locker rooms. The building was almost empty when I looked across the pool and saw the twins. "We should find out if the twins are coming tonight," I thought out loud. Asher got to his feet. Zeke grumbled as he got to his. They both went over without another word. Guilt ate at me. I kept sending them over to get ignored. Miles came back out in his track pants, shirt, and sandals again, this time carrying a gym bag. When he reached us, Rory pulled him into a guy hug and whispered to him. Miles's face and ears turned pink before Rory let go.
"Thanks," Miles said quietly to him. "Okay, now I need to get back to work. Go rest up," Rory told us before he headed toward the others.
I looked over at Miles. "So, how close was it really?" Miles let out a breath.
"Extremely. A quarter of a second. Johansson really picked it up since last year."
"Well, win or lose, you'll always be our Miles, and we're all proud of you," I told him honestly. Miles's ears turned red.
"Thanks,"
he muttered as he set down his bag. "You're welcome, Nemo," I said with a grin. His eyes shot to mine.
Did you just call me Nemo?"
he asked, confused.
"Yep." "You're calling me a fish?"
he asked again.
"Nope,"
I smiled bigger. "I was thinking more like Captain Nemo from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea." I shrugged, then looked down at Hades.
"If you don't like it..."
"No," he said quietly.
"I do."
I glanced up, only to meet his warm eyes. The moment stretched. My heart hammered.
"Those morons,"
Zeke growled, tearing my attention from Miles. Zeke was scowling as they came back over. Asher didn't look any happier as he clapped Miles on the shoulder.
"Congrats."
"Thanks." Miles looked back over his shoulder to the twins.
"Give me a few minutes."
Miles headed over to the twins. Asher sat down in front of me next to Hades. It wasn't long before the twins left. Asher got to his feet and turned to me.
"Come on, Allie girl. We have snacks to make."
3 hours later, I was wrist-deep in cookie dough. Asher was pulling potato chips out of the oven while I was making balls for thumbprint cookies. Apparently, Miles's favorites were the ones with a dollop of chocolate in the middle. So, I was trying not to screw them up as Asher worked on the other snacks. I looked at the ball I made in my hand and put it down on the wax paper. I made a thumbprint. Only the dough ball fell apart. I growled.
"What's wrong, Allie?"
Asher asked, as he changed the temp on the oven. "This should be easy," I snapped. "Make a ball, make a thumbprint, and move on."
Asher came over to stand next to me. I sighed and looked up at him.
"What am I doing wrong?"
Asher bit back a smile as he looked at my attempts.
"Okay, grab some dough."
I picked up a destroyed dough ball off the waxed paper. He picked one up, too.
"I think you're not applying enough pressure to make it a solid ball of dough."
He started rolling the dough in his hands.
"If you don't get the air out, it'll fall apart."
"So push harder," I summed up as I started rolling.
"Yeah."
He looked at the ball in his hands.
"Now we roll it to smooth it out. It makes a better circle if the surface is smoother."
I mimicked what he was doing.
"Now put the dough on the baking sheet," he said.
I put my dough ball down next to his perfect one. I grumbled wordlessly. Next to his, mine looked like a 3-year-old's work. Asher took my hand and held on to my thumb.
"Now, we lightly press down."
His voice was soft in my ear as he lifted my thumb out of the dough. It wasn't perfect, but it was a thumbprint cookie. I smiled. "So," I said, "when do we put the chocolate in?"
"When they are almost done."
He looked at the rest of my cookies and chuckled.
"Why can't I teach you to bake?"
He reached out and picked up another one of my destroyed cookies. I shrugged. "I don't know." I looked up at him as he was re-rolling the dough. "It just doesn't stay in my head," I smiled. "Besides, my talents lie elsewhere." He chuckled.
"I hope so, because you certainly can't bake."
I looked up at him with a narrowed gaze while I reached into the bag of flour. "You brat!" I tossed the flour at his face. It hit and flew everywhere. He threw the dough at me as I grabbed the flour bag. He grabbed the sugar and nailed me in the shoulder. War ensued. At some point, he stole the flour away from me, and I went diving for the dough. When we finally called it, we were both covered, and the kitchen was a mess. Most of Miles's cookie dough was on the floor or covering us. We were laughing as we cleaned up at the sink. Asher wet a towel and lifted my chin. He started cleaning flour and dough off my face, gently. I met his eyes and grew still. His ocean eyes were warm, his hands slowly wiping the mess off my face. My body warmed for the first time in months. His gaze ran down my face, then back to meet mine. He opened his mouth.
"Are you fucking kidding me?"
A shrill shout had us jumping apart and turning around. Jessica was in the kitchen doorway.
"You're really dating that skank?"
Asher sighed.
"Jess, let's talk in the family room."
He moved through the kitchen and closed the door behind him. I should probably go. If Jessica was going to have a shit fit, I wasn't interested in listening to it. I started washing my hands in the sink.
"This is my house, too," Jessica screamed. "And I don't want that slut in here. I don't care if you're fucking her."
"Knock it off, Jess,"
Asher shouted. I went still as I was drying my hands with a paper towel when Asher continued to raise his voice.
"If you haven't noticed, you don't do shit around here, and I'm sick of it."
"What the hell are you talking about?"
Jessica shouted. Wow, did the girl do anything but? I threw the towel away and put a leash on Hades.
"I pay the bills, I handle the house, and you go out and do whatever the hell you want,"
Asher snapped.
"Then you come in and expect to control who can come in this house? Not happening. In fact, forget having money. Until you help out around here, you're cut off."
"That's my money too, Asher," she snapped.
"Yeah, I needed to go."
"No, it's not," Asher countered. "And until you stop acting like a brat, you're not getting a dime."
I was at the door when the sound of skin hitting skin echoed through the house. My mind grew quiet. I opened the kitchen door in time to watch Asher turn back to his sister,
cursing as a red handprint was already starting to show on his face. Oh, hell no. I dropped Hades' leash and strode down the hallway to the foyer. Asher didn't see me until it was too late. Neither did Jessica. I swung and clocked her with a right hook across the face. She stumbled. I grabbed her shirt and pulled her back to me. "I fucking warned you," I growled. "You hit him, I hit you." I slammed my fist into her face again, the pain in my hand not registering. She went down hard. Adrenaline had me going for her again. Arms wrapped around my waist, I was lifted off my feet. I fought to get free until a rich baritone cut through the blood rushing through my ears.
"Allie, calm down," Asher shouted. "Allie, it's me, stop. You made your point."
"She can't do that shit," I snapped as I tried to pry his arms off my waist.
"Allie, stop,"
Asher barked. I stopped fighting him. I hung in his arms, trapped against his chest, with my feet dangling inches off the floor. I took deep breaths as a crying, bleeding Jessica scrambled to her feet and turned to us. Her nose was bleeding and a bruise was already forming along her cheekbone. Damn, I had been aiming for her eye. "I'm calling the cops," she snapped as she pulled out her phone. Asher put my feet on the floor.
"Go ahead, bitch," I snapped back. "Jess, don't," Asher ordered, his voice hard. "If you do that, you'll regret it."
Jessica wiped the blood off her face as she put her phone to her ear.
"Not when Dad hears about how you let her hit me," she shot back.
"Oh, so you can hit him, but no one can hit you?" I shouted. Asher's arms tightened around me, keeping me in place.
"You're a piece of work." "I need the police. My brother's girlfriend just attacked me."
Jessica sounded pathetic on the phone.
"Jess, you don't want to do that," Asher warned.
She shot him a look and gave him their address. Jessica hung up with a smug look on her face. Obviously, I hadn't hit her hard enough.
"Can I hit her again?" I asked seriously. "If I'm going to be arrested, I should at least get a really good shot in."
"Don't even think about it," Asher warned.
I grumbled wordlessly as sirens came closer. I couldn't stand the smug look on Jessica's face, so I wiped it off.
"Oh, I wouldn't be too thrilled, Jessica. I can still press charges against you for those pictures last October."
Jessica's smile dropped. I smirked. The siren stopped outside the house.
"I think you hitting me is going to speak louder," Jessica said, trying to sound confident.
I snorted. I let her think that. There was a knock on the door.
"Police? We got a call?"
A man's voice called through the door.
"Come in,"
Asher called. The door opened. The police officer walked in and surveyed us.
"Thank God! That bitch hit me!"
Jessica immediately started crying. I rolled my eyes. I went to open my mouth.
"Allie, don't,"
Asher whispered. I hesitated.
"Please, trust me."
Shit. If I didn't call Jessica out on those photos, I was going to go to the station. But Asher asked me not to. Fuck. I closed my mouth.
"We'll separate everyone and we'll figure this out," the officer announced.
This wasn't going to be good for me. In the end, two other officers arrived. Asher was in the kitchen, Jessica was in the family room, and, being the less beat up of the two, I was in cuffs on the front porch. The cop who put them on me recognized me from last January. He was nice enough to let me keep my hands in front of me. I thanked him. We had attracted quite a crowd. Neighbors were out on their porches watching. Not the twins, or Maria. She was still helping her sister get her kids home. Jessica was still crying crocodile tears when the first cop on the scene came out. He was the one who recognized me from January. Officer Daniels eyed me.
"You're Rory's niece, aren't you?"
he asked bluntly. I nodded. Guilt ate at my stomach as I looked away from him, only to see the handcuffs and my scraped-up knuckles. Rory was going to kill me.